All Business Media presents the Professionals Roundtable. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable with Rick Delgado. Exclusively on All Business Media.
And welcome to All Business Media, where I am your host, Rick Delgado. And welcoming back to the show is a lovely lady out of Cincinnati, Ohio. She's an author of a few books that you can get through her website, which is, I'll make it very easy for you. It's JanelleWhite.com, JanelleWhite.com. That is also the name of our guest. She made it very easy. Her name is her website. How about a nice round of applause for the aforementioned Janelle White? How are you, Janelle? Welcome back. All right. Well, thank you for spending the time with us. And again, you know, I do mention that you are an author and people can get your books on your website, which is, of course, JanelleWhite.com. Let's talk about the books real quick. First book that you wrote?
It's Easiest Short Long-Term Plan for Saving Money.
Right.
And the second one is Growing Up Poetry. It's a kid's book for ages 2 to 7 years old.
Right, and the first book is basically for everyone, but mainly adults.
Absolutely. And I can give you a brief description about what it's about.
Yeah, and let's dive into the first book real quick and let everybody know what that's about. Again, the title of that book is The Easiest Short/Long-Term Plan for Saving Money, and our author, of course, is Janelle White. What is the book about? Well, I guess the title is kind of obvious, Janelle, but, you know. So
it is. But I try to make it easy for everyone.
Right, exactly. And what is it, you know, essentially, what are you teaching people with this?
Okay. Well, My Savings Plan book is pretty much the only book out there of its kind. It's simple, it's basic, it's easy to understand. It's not about investments. It's an easy plan based on 2 steps to help people get started with a sound, secure way to save money, regardless of your debts, your occupation, or your income. And I mentioned before that there are a lot of good books out there about investments, but that is not what my book is about.
Right.
You don't have to be a financial guru to understand this plan, and it's set up where you can visually save to see what you're saving before it even happens.
Now, when you say you can see what you're saving before it happens, do you provide them with like a guideline or a checklist or something like that that's inside the book that they can fill in?
It's based on the 2 steps, and you can see what you'll save before it even happens. And they say it's a lot of customers have bought the book already and have told me about it, said it's the easiest plan ever, and it makes a lot of sense.
That's great. And again, the book is available not only on BarnesandNoble.com or BooksAMillion.com, but you can also get it at Amazon. And you can find it. Just put in Easiest Short Long-Term Plan for Savings, or better yet, put in Janelle White. That's the author, of course. Then her book will come up. And, you know, if that's the one you're looking for, of course, go grab a copy of it. It can be. And you've also got it available in Kindle form as well, so people can download it.
Yes. Yes, I do. Uh-huh.
That's another great way to save money, right?
That's a great way. Yes, it is. Uh-huh. Yes, it is.
All right. And now let's get to the second book, because the second book is quite a departure from the first one, because the first one deals with money and it's more geared to grown-ups, but this one, Growing Up Poetry, is a children's book.
Yes, it is.
And what's in the book?
Okay. Well, it's a series of 45 poems. It's both really, children and adults both can enjoy reading, adults reading the poems to the children, pictures involved with the poems. You basically have poems about kittens, puppies, the seasons, stars, about saving the environment.
Mm-hmm.
It brings back the joy or the emotions that one experiences for all ages when the arrival of spring or when school is out. My kids love it when school is out for summer vacation. But it also inspires children about saving the environment, and it also gives them a sense of peace and happiness.
And
for ages 2 to 7,
right?
7 years old.
And again, it's very easy to read, right?
Absolutely, yes, it is.
And from what I understand, you also did the illustrations for it, the pictures.
Yes, I did. Uh huh.
Very nice. And again, so you're multi-talented.
Yeah. Well,
you can say it. Yeah, I guess. and it's funny because you know, speaking to you, everybody's like, okay, she's an author. She's probably been an author all her life. That's not really the case now, is it?
No, it isn't. I've been a nurse longer than I've been an author.
Right. And you've been a nurse for now how long?
Oh, gosh, it's been over 32 years, I'm saying.
Wow. So you've been at it for a long time. And this was, but writing was always something you kind of had in the back of your mind that you wanted to do, right?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I always had a love for poetry by the nursery rhymes that when I grew up. I loved nursery rhymes. I loved the Dr. Seuss book. I just had a, I don't know, it was something that it spoke to you. Poetry speaks to you.
Right.
And your the meaning of it behind it.
Hey, let me ask you this, Janelle. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
There's a poem in your book called Believe.
It's not in my book. But
it's not in your book.
Wine Publishing.
It's what?
Eber and Wine. They had a book called The Best Poets of 2014. It's in that book.
Ah.
It has a contest poem.
Oh, so you entered it in a contest?
Yes, I did.
Oh, very nice.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the outcome of that was that it got published.
Yes, it did. Uh-huh.
Well, very good. And what was that, 2014 you said?
In 2014, uh-huh.
Right.
Best Poets of 2014.
That's
by
very
Eber and Wine Publishing.
Very nice. Where can people get that book?
They can go online, and Eber and Wine has their website on there. They have their phone number. They can call and ask for the book, tell them who the author is, and tell them the year, you know, tell them what the name of the poem is, Believe.
Right.
It's just one word, Believe. And they can look it up, and if you want to order it, you can order it that way. It's a collection of poems. I'm not the only author a poet in that book. There's
right.
other poetry in the book.
Now, I bring that up because I know that something happened to you a few years back, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Can you tell everybody what that was?
Well, it's based on my poem, Believe. It's issues of cryptozoology, and for people who don't know what that means, it's really just like a study of unidentified hidden animals. People say they exist that have seen them, the encounters.
Right, like Bigfoot.
Yes, like Bigfoot, Sasquatch, and the legendary Thunderbird.
Right.
Which is what I had my experience with the Thunderbird.
Exactly, and the Thunderbird story, it was kind of a simple one, right? You were just kind of walking along.
Yes, in the park. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was. I was walking along on the upper level of Eden Park in Cincinnati, Ohio, and it overlooks the Ohio River. And I had seen it twice. I saw it in 2001, and I saw it again in 2003. And the latter part of that year, that was the most terrifying for me when I saw it.
Now, why is that?
Because it came real close. I mean, it flew right in front of me. I mean, not right in front, but it flew like maybe 2 feet or more in front of me. Because I thought it was an airplane. You know, birds don't cast shadows.
Right.
And this thing, I thought it was an airplane, but you know, you hear an airplane engine. And I didn't hear any engine. So I didn't know what it was. I saw this shadow fly over top of me. And I was listening to a Walkman at the time. And I was changing my tape. And I looked around, I said, well, where is this thing going? I said, maybe it's somebody on a hang glider. Well, when it came back in front of me, it circled around, because I didn't see it, and then it circled around and came back like in front of me, maybe about 2 or 3 feet in front of me. And I thought it was an airplane. I said, somebody made up a bird to look like an airplane.
Right.
Or this, you know, made up an airplane to look like a big old gigantic bird. And when I said, what the heck is that? The eye of the bird is pitch black, turned and looked at me. And I thought, oh my, this thing is real. And it had a pointed black beak. It went straight down, pointed. It was long. The tail feathers, it looked like an overgrown-sized crow. And I believe the wingspan might have been over 18 feet.
Wow.
Yeah, it was scary. I was terrified. I didn't know what to do. I was like standing there in shock. Didn't know what to do. I knew if I turned my back and tried to run, it probably would grab me. It was big enough to do that. So I just stood there and faced it to see what it was going to do.
Right.
Next thing I knew, I was looking down over the cliff, and I thought, well, if I have to, I'll just jump over the cliff and get, you know, in the bushes and stuff. Maybe that'll save me. I know that sounds drastic, but I would rather do that than to be
scooped up by a gigantic bird.
I know. It's hard to believe. And I'd heard about them, and I didn't know what it was that I saw until my coworker that I work with told me that he had found a 20-foot feather. And he was the one that told me that they do exist. He he's seen that he had a feather of it, a 20-foot feather of the legendary Thunderbird.
Wow.
Native Americans have a book about seeing these things.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's like you said, it's one of those animals that they, you know, say exist, but no one's ever seen one or captured one, that kind of thing.
Yes, uh-huh.
And
I wanted to tell a little bit, touch base on why people don't believe.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you why people don't believe, because they don't, they haven't seen one. They haven't found a dead one where they could say, here it is, it exists.
Exactly. But I put down two. The number one reason people don't believe, more or less, is because they're a skeptic. And a skeptic is defined as a person who doesn't believe something unless he or she sees it, what you just said.
Right.
The evidence, they don't have evidence to prove the existence of that which is called into questioning, and that it doesn't or does not exist. They doubt the validity of things by eyewitness testimony, in which they say could be a lie. Now, I have to say that I am not an expert in cryptozoology, although no one truly is, because we are all searching for answers to eyewitness reports of having seen beings and unidentified animals that they say exist.
Right.
I have done some research, read some books on the subject, have attended live seminars, and that's when the reason why is because I had an encounter with a cryptid. Now, some of the reasons I say that people don't believe, number one, is their upbringing, how they are raised, family values and belief systems. That's one of the reasons.
Okay.
Number two, some people are unable to accept the fact and don't want to believe that there are other things out there besides ourselves on this planet we live in. Number three, evidence. That's the biggest one. Some people will say, if there's no evidence to support it, then I don't believe it.
Right.
They want evidence before they'll believe. And then some people say, well, these footprints that people are showing could be fake or hoaxed. They think they're using it to trick people. Which goes into my next reason, profit. Some people feel that others are trying to make a profit off of something of which they know is no factual evidence to back up what they say is out there, so
right.
They refuse to believe it. Number five is the fear of the unknown and what's out there. And my last reason is people may become disillusioned and shakes up their sense of what they feel to be reality.
Now, before you actually saw this, did you believe in stuff like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster and stuff like that?
In a way I did, because there were so many eyewitness testimonies. I have never seen those myself, but when you have so many people saying that they see these, you know, what the internet now, there's so many things written on there, although people can write things like a fabricate stuff.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But, I didn't doubt that people have seen these things. I just don't want to judge people and say that they didn't see it and say that it's a lie, because I said, what if? I always say, what if it's true? And me, myself, personally, I believe in it.
Right, and it was always the... you know, the belief that the giant squid didn't exist until they actually found one.
And now they're finding things of it, you
right.
know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And with stuff like the Thunderbird and, you know, even Bigfoot, I mean, you can go back centuries where, you know, Native people have, you know, depicted these things in wall art and stuff like that. And there are the stories and the legends that go along with it. So you think, okay, well, you know what? Maybe there is something to it. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of times, most of what we you know, believe is actually comes from an actual fact of some sort.
You're right. They always say myth and folklore are half beliefs and maybe half truth.
Right.
Reported writings, like you said, on walls, cave walls and things, these are kind of like documentation to future generations of things other people may have experienced.
Yeah, so I mean, you can say what you want and be like, well, you know, until I actually see it,
right.
or they find a dead one, you know, it's one of those things where it unfortunately becomes just a legend or a story
right.
until it actually gets proven otherwise. Again, we're talking to author Janelle White. She is out of Cincinnati, Ohio. She had her own personal experience with the mythical creature, the Thunderbird, which is cryptozoology does not, says that this thing is out there, but there's no definite proof just yet.
Right.
that it's up there with like Bigfoot and, you know, the Yeti, which is, of course, you know, the same thing as Bigfoot, just a, I guess, a different color.
Right.
And the odd part is...
I wrote that poem because of that.
Right. And the odd part, Janelle, is that the fact that where you spotted the one that you saw... You know, most people think, okay, you got to go out west, maybe, you know, Arizona, New Mexico in the desert, and that's where you'll see some of these things, or up in the Pacific Northwest for Bigfoot. No, you were in Ohio.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I had documented, I spoke to someone, and I go to the Scare Fest every now and then, and I meet a lot of the people that do things as far as speak on seminars and stuff. One of the persons there was Mr. Lauren Cohen. And when I had spoke to him, he said, yes, he had heard about the reported sightings over the Ohio River, along the Ohio River, of these gigantic birds. And it was in 2003, which is when I had seen it.
Right. Yeah, and that was a while ago. And I guess there was even a sighting last about a year ago in your area as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know what? Keep an eye out, because it's probably still out there. It's probably still looking for you.
Yeah, it's out there, because I'm too scared to go back to the hospital.
I don't blame you, especially if you're contemplating jumping over a cliff to get away from it just to stay alive. Again, Janelle White is our guest. She's an author out of Cincinnati, Ohio. She's got two books that you can go and purchase through her website, JanelleWhite.com. That's JanelleWhite.com. White.com. Got to take a quick break. When we come back, more with our guest Janelle. She's going to do some readings from her poetry book for kids, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And we'll be back with more with Janelle White right after these words on All Business Media.
Every business needs professionals they can trust. Let it be your lawyer, accountant, electrician, even the company plumber are all people you can trust. So why are you settling for your printer vendor? They never respond to your questions, and when they do, it's always late. Always seems to take an eternity to get your printing done and ready, but you've dealt with it because there really wasn't another alternative. That is, until now, Max Image Printers. Take the worry out of your printing needs. As a hybrid company, both on website and phone, they welcome clients, businesses of all sizes, to call and ask questions to make as many orders as you need, with the confidence of having your work printed, beautiful, and ready in just a few business days. Bring the trust back into your printing. Maximize your printing experience with Maxim Image Printing. Call now at 801-977-8330. Email Keith at maximage.net. Visit the website, maximage.net. Max Image Printing, quality service, guaranteed. If you're not happy, you don't pay.
Hey, road cyclist, do you want a real adventure? How about a week-long vacation in Tuscany or Lake Como, Italy? Cyclabella Italia Tours are so much more than just great cycling. Come and enjoy not only cycling, but all the best in food, wine, sightseeing, and la dolce pizza in Italy. Go to the website, cyclabellaitalia.com, to register for the Cyclabella Italia newsletter, filled with interesting information about Italy and the tours. Visit the website to view the photo gallery of prior tours and learn more about the fantastic cycling experience with Cyclabella Italia. Email Joe at cyclabellaitalia.com or phone 480-353-6660. Cyclabella Italia. Ride, eat, drink, live.
All Business Media presents the Professionals Roundtable. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable with Rick Delgado. Exclusively on All Business Media.
And welcome back to All Business Media. And yes, I am your host, Rick Delgado. And again, we're sitting with our guest, Janelle White. She is the author out of Cincinnati, Ohio, that you can get one of her two books or get them both, depending on what you're looking for. JanelleWhite.com is her website. It's the same as her name, JanelleWhite.com, or you can just go to Amazon and punch in her name and pull up the books as well. Again, Janelle White, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it as always. You're very welcome. And, you know, we were having a kind of interesting discussion about cryptozoology based on the fact of not only your poem called Believe, which was published in another book, but also on the fact that, you know, you had that encounter, or I should say two encounters. And it was in the state of Ohio. It's not where people would automatically think, well, you know, state of Ohio, that's kind of normal. Why is there a large, you know, undocumented species of bird flying around Ohio? But according to you, not only have you seen it, but I guess others in your area too, right?
Yes. correct. They have, yeah.
Now, when you saw it,
I met. He was younger, and he saw it too.
Right. Now, when you initially saw it, did you think you were like, okay, I got to stop drinking?
No. Yeah, you know, when I saw it, I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Right.
I said, I told Mr. Cohen, I said, I never knew a bird could get that big.
Right.
I'd never seen something. The tail feathers were like short. They were real short.
Right.
But the other upper body part was bigger. With the wingspan was tremendous. I mean, it was huge.
Right.
It scared the daylights out of me. I would say it was the size of a small size airplane, like a Cessna airplane.
Right. Yeah, and it's one of those things where, you know, once you started talking about it, I put it into Google to start looking up stuff, and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of reports of something like that, you know, in that area, and it completely kind of caught me off guard because I just never really thought about Ohio and the surrounding area there as some place where some of these sightings might be taking place. But I guess you kind of got a little hotspot for Thunderbird sightings over there.
I took me 2 weeks to report it to the park ranger, and I was worried, and I said, well, I'm going to report this. And I said, why didn't you tell somebody that there's gigantic birds flying around the park? I said, because I could have done this thing Sunday dinner. And she laughed the whole entire time I was telling her, and I said, have you heard of the Thunderbird? She said, oh, yes, we've heard of them. She said, she'll put it down in the log.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
So even though they had heard of it, she wasn't taking you that serious?
Well, she just laughed. I don't know whether she believe me or not.
Or laughed at the fact that you could have been dinner.
Because uh-huh. I said, please don't send a paddy wagon after me. Because I actually saw this thing.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I think I probably would have taken a while for me to report it as well.
Yeah.
And this was back before, you know, social media. So it's not like you were walking around with an iPhone, because it was what, 2001 and 2003, you said?
Yes.
Yeah, so it was long before, you know, everybody walks around with their phone right now that has a video camera and a phone and a, you know, you name it.
I think the reason why he didn't come after me, there's a curve that curves around that goes up to the upper level of the park. There was a car coming up, and this bird flew in between the trees. He folded up his wings. It looked like a gigantic black cape over his shoulders. He folded his wings up. Flew straight ahead. He never flapped his wings. He just glided. That's what I found was fascinating.
Right.
As big as he was, he didn't even flap his wings.
Yeah, I probably would have jumped over that cliff too.
Yeah.
I'd have been right behind you. Like, Janelle, you ready? Let's just do this.
Yeah, you're right.
We'd be like Thelma and Louise. Let's just go.
Yeah. I was scared. I mean, that's the most scared I've ever been, and it scared me so bad I won't go back. I can't go back there.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that was a long time ago. Again, that was back in, I guess, the last time you saw it was 2003. Hey, before we run out of time, I know you did want to do a couple of readings from the book Growing Up Poetry. So you want to tackle those right now?
Yes, I can do that.
All right, great.
The first one, you know, I spend a lot of time walking in the parks. I love the parks. So this one's called The Park.
Okay.
And it's like this. It goes like this. When I am walking through the park, there's so much there to see. Kids are playing, birds are singing, insects sliding and butterflies gliding that land upon a tree. Happy singing, adults are reading, children swinging and squirrels are playing, riding bikes and flying kites, so much fun in the morning light. Walking through the park to me is a great adventure just for me. And that was The Park. It's on page 39 of Growing Up Poetry.
Right. And again, that's a book that's available on Amazon, Books A Million, and Barnes & Noble. I was thinking, you know, since the, I know it's a kid's book, but it would be nice to maybe throw an extra little verse in there, maybe about if you see a giant bird, jump over a cliff without a word.
yeah, that would be.
that might scare the kids, though.
Yeah, that might scare the kids.
Yeah, so and then they won't go to the park.
Now, they don't have that. They're more open.
Right.
You know? But when you have things along the rivers and things like that, because it overlooks the river, it makes me wonder, you know,
right.
What's around the river.
Yeah. Definitely could definitely spark some anxiety, I'll tell you that much.
My second poem's called Fire Engine.
Okay.
It's on page 14. And I have a fire engine on the picture with a little girl calling for help.
Okay, now what inspired this one? Was this something from your years growing up, or?
just hearing the fire engines go by, and I was thinking about kids, how much they like to go to the firehouse to look at the fire engines. Kids are fascinated with the blare, the sounds, and
right.
the lights flashing. So the poem goes like this. The fire engine makes a noise as loud as it can be, warning people everywhere is coming down the street. See the smoke clouds blazing way up in the air. The fire engine puts it out, and now the sky is clear. And that's on page 14.
Very nice. Again, it's from the book Growing Up Poetry on Janelle White's website, JanelleWhite.com. You can get either the book Growing Up Poetry or the money book. We'll just call it the money book. Easiest short,
okay.
long-term plan for saving money because everybody needs to do that. Now, how long is, what'd you say, about 45 pages is the poetry book?
The poetry book is 45 pages.
Okay.
And the savings plan book is about 57 pages, but it has examples in the back. I gave like sheet that you can use to map out your savings plan based on the examples I teach in the book.
Right. And it's easy. It's an easy read. It's a quick read because it's only 57 pages. And like Janelle said, you'll get to see what your anticipated savings are going to be even before you get started. And it's a plan that you know, it's affordable for everyone because, let's face it, we all need to save money, and not enough of us are doing it right. Not enough are doing it at all, really.
Right.
And she put together a plan that regardless of your job, your debts, location, whatever, you can get involved and start saving money and start seeing results almost immediately. All right. Well, thank you again, Janelle, for taking the time out to join us. Again, author Janelle White. Go to the website, JanelleWhite.com. That's JanelleWhite.com. You can get a copy of her book, read about her, and, of course, contact her through there as well. She's got a contact page as well as a bio and, of course, the tab with the books. Again, Janelle White, thank you so much for joining us today. Watch out for low-flying birds. And
yes,
and stay away from cliffs. And
yes, I will.
Again, it's been a pleasure, and thank you so much for taking the time out to join us today.
Okay.
All right. And we'll be back with more on All Business Media right after these words.
All Business Media presents the Professionals Roundtable. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable with Rick Delgado. Exclusively on All Business Media.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool.
Oh.
And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed,
6-8-9-10-4.
Could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.